That was actually part of that was the blessing given to his father Abraham in that covenant that God made with Abraham. He said, cursed is everyone who curses you, and I will bless everyone who blesses you. There was power behind those words. It was a prophetic decree. Now, even though Jacob schemed to get that blessing, God still honored those words. And you see that unfold in Jacob's life and in his descendants, because God, in fact, had a destiny for Jacob. God has so ordained, even knowing the wickedness of men's hearts, ordained that this situation came about. It was already prophesied that the elder would serve the younger. And God honored that. In fact, he honored it so much when Esau later came in, just on the heels of that, and Isaac realized that he had been tricked. Esau said, well, Dad, don't you have a blessing for me? Is that all? Can't you just bless me also? Why just bless him? Why don't you just bless me too? And Isaac said, it's already too late. I've already given the blessing to Jacob. It can't be undone. It's already been given to him. I will bless you also, but I can't give you that which I've already given to him. There was power in his words that shaped his destiny and shaped his identity. That's the power of a prophetic decree, and it could not be undone. Now, you might think, well, Jacob sure got away with that, didn't he? Well, he had to run for his life because his brother swore he would kill him as soon as Dad was dead. Huh? Yeah, there's a lot to that. There's a lot to that. So he had to run for his life. But after God had his way with Jacob for several years, Jacob started to learn that you just don't manipulate to get stuff in life. It's not worth it. That's not the way to go. And God used the master manipulator on Jacob to show him just how painful it is to have that done. He ran into himself in the person of Laban. And he started to learn a few lessons. After Jacob went through that, he had another encounter with blessing. He had another encounter with blessing that completely reversed the curse of his name. In fact, we were just talking about wrestling. I think somebody put a heel hook on him. It happened when Jacob decided he would return to his homeland, back where Esau was. He figured maybe the guy wasn't mad at me anymore. For whatever reason, I need to go back home. And he started heading back home. And one night he had an encounter with somebody. Who did he encounter? The angel of the Lord. In which he wrestled with him all night. And check out what it says about that in Genesis 32:24. It says, then Jacob was left alone, and a man, capital M, the Lord, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he, the Lord, saw that he did not prevail against him, Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he, Jacob, said, I will not let you go unless you do what? Say it loud. Unless you bless me, I am not going to let you go until you bless me. Jacob was wrestling for something as well, so much so that he wrestled all night long and would not let go until he obtained it. He said, I won't let you go until you bless me. This is important. I must have this. Verse 27, so he said to him, what is your name? He knew his name. He wanted him to say it. What is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name. Your name. Your identity. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Man, I'm getting bumps on my arm. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. So in blessing Jacob, God gave him a new name and a new identity. That was the power of that blessing. It shaped who he was and defined his identity and his destiny. In fact, just a couple chapters later, God repeats the same blessing to him. In fact, he elaborates it on it even more, and he unpacks it and says, this is all that is contained in this. Genesis 35, verses 9 to 12. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he had come from Paddan Aram and did what? What did he do? He blessed him again. He blessed him. And God said, your name is Jacob, but your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. Also, God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you, and to your descendants after you, I give this land. When God gives you something, man, you've been given something. Amen. Power in those words. So when God blessed Jacob, he uttered a decree over him that literally changed who he was. It gave him a new name. It gave him a new identity. And it brought abundance and legacy with it. And I believe that that, getting back to Jabez, I believe that that is what Jabez was crying out for when he said, oh, that you would bless me, that you would give me a sense of destiny and identity, that you would enlarge my borders, enlarge my sphere of influence so that I could be blessed and be a blessing to others, that your hand would be with me to keep me from evil. And that I would be a blessing to others instead of a pain to them. Now, there are many people that this has happened to in Scripture. I could go on and on. Different people in Scripture who were blessed with a new identity from God, a new destiny and identity by a prophetic decree. Let's look at another guy here. You're in a hotel room, you open up the drawer, there's a Bible in there, and it's called what? Gideon's Bible. That guy gets around, man. You know, in the bathroom, somebody wrote on the door, you know, Kilroy was here. And in the dresser, Gideon was here. He left his Bible. Gideon was the smallest member of the weakest family in his tribe. Gideon was the smallest member of the weakest family in his tribe or in his clan. He was a nobody in the eyes of the world. He was just a guy, just a dude, and not a big dude at that. And old Gideon was hiding out in fear and in terror. He was threshing wheat in a what, do you think? A wine vat. Most people threshed wheat on a threshing floor. It was big. A wine vat is small. It's like a trough. So Gideon is hiding in the wine vat. Talk about needing to enlarge your territory. He's hiding in the wine vat, threshing wheat. Apparently, he didn't have a whole lot of wheat either. And he's hiding in terror and fear because there is an oppressing army of Midianites that has basically dominated the country. They have burned and pillaged all of the grain and all of the good stuff in the land. They have oppressed the people, and Gideon is fearful for his life. So he's hiding out, threshing his wheat in a wine vat. What a picture of success. And the angel of the Lord appears to him. I love this. Oh, man. The angel of the Lord appears to him and says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Wow. I had to throw that in. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. All right, Gideon was a little guy. We have any little guys in here? Anybody? No? No? John, come on up here. You raise your hand. Chris, come on over here. Don't you love the way he walks up here? Yeah, I'm Chris. Hatch, Chris Hatch. Greenlee, what a Chris Hatch. I'm thinking over there. I thought I said Hatch last week. Sorry, brother. Yeah, erase that part. All right, now I'm the angel. I'm about to commission somebody to deliver Israel. Okay? Normally, you would think he would pick the guy he has to look up to you. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. But does he go to this guy, or does he go to this brother over here? He comes over to this guy. Thank you, Chris. You can sit down. And he says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Oh, wait a minute. He's hiding. Oh, there's water in the baptistry. Okay, here's your wine vat. Come over here. Okay, bend down. Now thresh some wheat. Here. Thresh some wheat. Just thresh it. Yeah. Okay, here's the angel. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Keep threshing.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Gideon said. What? Hey, you talking to me? You talking to me? Thank you, brother. That was excellent. That was excellent. All right.
You get to watch back.
Okay, I'll take the wheat. Thank you, John. Good job, brother. Excellent, excellent. Gideon is stunned. He is in absolute disbelief. He says, what in the world are you talking about? Who, me? Are you kidding me? Mighty man of valor? How could he, of all people, ever even hope to someday become a mighty man of valor? Smallest guy in the weakest family of his tribe, and his tribe is hiding out in utter terror of an oppressing army. But after God gave him a couple of assurances to kind of help bolster his faith, Gideon became exactly who the angel said he was. Gideon became a mighty man of valor. And with only 300 warriors against an army of thousands, he delivered Israel out of their hand. He even caused the other armies in Israel to come out of hiding and rise up and become the warriors that God had already said that they were. His boldness emboldened others. All because of these words of blessing. You mighty man of valor. So let me ask you guys today. God has a destiny for you. He has an identity that He has given you in Christ. It is assured because it's grounded in Christ. It's a hope that is anchored within the veil where it cannot be shaken. Can't be taken away. Can't steal that blessing. Even in Henderson, they can't find it. They can break in and look all they want. They ain't going to touch it. It is anchored within the veil in the holy place of God. That is your hope. That is your identity. That is your destiny. So let me ask you guys today, when I took that survey and I asked if anyone was still feeling the pain of today, of words that were spoken to you years ago, what words came to your mind?